Thank you very much. I'm Bernard Joins, and as I read and study my Bible, I find that it has many, many unique claims that are made therein. And I want to talk about a few of those at this time. The gospel of Christ is indeed very unique, and any student of the Bible will be compelled to admit that. That word upon which Christianity is based is a teaching that is truly one of a kind. The Apostle Paul sets this forth in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, when he lists seven unities. He says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. He says, who is above all, through all, and in you all? The gospel does not set forth Christianity as being simply a great religion. And some people would look at it as a great religion among many religions. And the claim made in the gospel are indeed uniquely different from that of any other religion that the world has ever seen. Nowhere in this more evident than in the claims of the gospel. God does not show partiality, and that within itself is quite unique. Nearly all religions make the claim that their gods deal with the certain groups in special ways with special treatment. This was true, in a sense, with the Old Testament. God showed preference to the nation of Israel, but rejected the others. But that is changed under the gospel of Christ. God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10, verses 34 and 35. Again, in James 2, verses 1 through 9, the poor is received and respected as much as the rich. To treat people otherwise is to commit sin, so verse 9 says. And the gospel claim is very simple. Neither race, nor riches, nor education, nor any other thing which man may attain or acquire for himself will cause God to give special favors to anyone. Most of the world's great religions depict divine favor as being bestowed on certain classes of people. But there's only one standard which the gospel teaches. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10:35. God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of righteousness. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, Peter describes God, who without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work. And of course, this would be the works of righteousness. The gospel claim is unique. Anyone who will work God's righteousness will be blessed by him without regard to race or riches. Also, there is only one way of salvation in this gospel. Most religions can exist side by side with others, and the reason for that is that they feel that their religion is compatible with others, but Christianity is incompatible with other religions. And the one way is the reason. Now, notice again the reading in Ephesians 4, when he says, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Each one rules out any other. Here comes into play the law of inclusion and exclusion. Anything that is not mentioned is excluded. Why claim only one way when people say that you may be antagonizing people by this statement? But Jesus said, I am the way, not the ways, the truth, not the truths, but life, not lives. So he uses everyone in the singular. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. That's echoed by the apostles in Acts 4, 12. In none other is there salvation, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Now that's a bold claim, isn't it? Christ is the only way to God. That immediately eliminates every way that man has devised to get to God other than through Christ, you see. That's the only way. That's God's way. To turn away from Him means there's no more sacrifice for sin. This is a very, very unique claim. God simply says that if you turn away from Christ, I'm not going to present another sacrifice for sin. You've rejected the only one I have, the only one I will ever have. Now, the forgiveness of our sins, that's a little unusual, too. That's unique with this gospel. But most religions do not deal with sin at all. Their purpose is to make better men. But the purpose of the gospel is clearly stated. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's God's aim, to save the souls of people. Romans 1 and verse 16. And, of course, we must become better people morally if we are converted to Christ. That's part of it. But that won't save us. The purpose of the gospel is not simply to reform people, but to save them. And Jesus claimed He had power to forgive sins in Mark 2 and verse 10. And one of the unique assurances God gives in the new covenant is, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8 and verse 12. Now, of course, this is a quotation of the Old Testament and prophecy of what God was going to do. But never, never have people been promised that their sins would be taken away, that they would be abolished, that they'd never be remembered again. And some religions demand the mutilation of one's body, 1 Kings 18, verse 28, or offering a child as a sacrifice, 2 Kings 23 and verse 10. And they did this to gain approval of their gods. The gospel teaches that only one thing takes away sin and makes it right in the sight of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the perfect sacrifice, Hebrews 10:2-10, and who offered His blood to cleanse us, in Hebrews 9 and verse 14. And Paul wrote in Romans 3:23 and 25, and also 5:8 and 9, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. When we have been baptized into His death, and we are in Romans 6, we are then raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. And as new creatures in Christ, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. And the uniqueness of this gospel also indicates that we can have continued forgiveness of our sins. Now, it doesn't mean we won't sin and that we can be lost, but we can have the continued forgiveness of our sins. And He tells us how. The gospel teaches that one is cleansed from sin in becoming a Christian. And sometimes when people talk about being saved, that's all they have reference to. They don't talk about the continuing action of the blood of Christ. But He said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, Acts 22:16. Now, that's true. But the gospel also teaches that the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse the Christian in his daily walk of life. A most unique claim. We're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, Ephesians 1:7. Now, when we are children of light, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, having been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from sin. As John writes, in 1 John 1, 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The word cleanseth is translated from a Greek word which has continuing action. It's not just a one-time action, but it has continued action. And so it is with the blood of Christ cleansing us from sin. Now, the gospel does not teach that we shall not sin. 1 John 1, verses 8-10. In fact, we even call God a liar if we say that we don't sin or have not sinned. But it does teach that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. This is a constant cleansing that continues with us as long as we live in Christ. Thus, Paul writes in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here's the reason. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It is not that Christians don't sin, but rather that God does not impute or reckon their sins to them. Romans 4, verses 3 through 7. Because the Christian is in Christ, God does not impute their trespasses unto them, as 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19 clearly states. And thus does the Christian stand always justified before God as long as he continues to endure and as long as he is faithful. But this gospel is unique in the sense that it promises eternal life. That is, eternal life with Christ and the Father. Now, Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus the reason he came into this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 and verse 16. Before his departure from the apostles, he told them, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14 and verse 3. The hope of the gospel is not in this life, but is eternal life in heaven. While many religions teach vaguely about life after death, and some think they go directly into that life as soon as they die, which the Bible says they do not, and the gospel is unique in the claims that are made. The hope of the gospel is not based simply on words, but in a promise based on the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is resurrection of Christ from the dead. Now he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Now here's where it is. Reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4. His resurrection assures us that he is the Son of God with power. Romans 1 and verse 4. And pledges our own resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 19 through 22. Having been baptized into Christ, Romans 6:3, and living daily in Christ, Ephesians 1:3, we have assurance of eternal life. God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5 and verse 11. But now here's the way that he has given this. The promise of God is eternal life. 1 John 2. And so we know that we have that life in the form of a promise of one who cannot lie. Yes, the claims of the gospel are unique. No other religion makes the claims we read in the Bible. And none offers the blessings found there. And the importance of that message is found in these two scriptures, these passages from the scriptures, in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and Romans 1 and verse 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's when Paul wrote, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Will you honestly investigate the claims of the gospel, and then will you submit to God's will?